All right, I just saw this tweet from the official at B. Mitch and Finley account. It says, is Nick Sirianni a douche? Does B. Mitch sound terrible? We will ask Barstool Nate right now on B. Mitch and Finley.
Nick is a douche, yes. B. Mitch does not sound terrible.
Our guy Barstool Nate joins us via the BetQL guest line. Sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. Nate Dogg, what's going on, man? How are you, buddy?
Hello, my friends. How is the West Coast or Southwest? I'm not sure what they call themselves out there.
I don't either. It's definitely Southwest. It's not the coast because there's no ocean in sight.
There's no ocean. But it's a mountain right outside of our house.
Yeah, the sun's coming up. It's getting warm. It's good, man. I'm curious. I want you to answer our first question. Is Nick Sirianni a douche?
Yes.
It's a complicated question, right? Because... Because
he's good. He's clearly good.
He shows personality, which, you know, a coach shows personality. We call them a douche. A coach doesn't show personality. We say, why is this guy such a robot? Blah, 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 blah. I would say he's figuring it out. I think he has douche tendencies and he has certain characteristics of a douche, but he's not 100% a douche. Now, compared to other NFL,
let's start saying
coaches,
tool for the record. We're all going to say tool instead of the other word,
instead of the D word. God,
yeah,
not my America. compared to other NFL head coaches, yeah, he's further along on the tool spectrum than most. But I at the end of the day, you know, you like a coach with personality. He's a young guy. He's 41. He's still figuring out. He's in the Super Bowl. So I think we have to give him a pass. He cannot act how he acts if he was a bad coach on a losing team. But he has earned a little bit of a pass because he's in the Super Bowl.
I agree with that.
I just think he's making everything about him.
Yeah,
and I can't stand coaches like
now,
that.
Now, yeah, he could go off the deep end. There's always an inflection point with this type of person. Like, J.J. Watt went way too far, and he became, like, he went from endearing to just the most annoying worst of all time, and then he circled back, and he backpedaled, and now he's good again. Sirianni could toe that line a little bit, but if he wins the Super Bowl, he's already in the Super Bowl, and if he just stays how he is, I think he's okay. But I understand what you're saying, B. Mitch. There's definitely a fine line that he's walking.
Yeah.
Well, I remember that's a great kind of call with the J.J. Watt thing. Because remember, I don't know if it was a 30 for 30 or what, but like he let cameras in to work out with him. And there was that, I don't know what song it is.
Fort Minor.
I don't know what
song, man.
Yeah. That song.
That song.
Remember, and he was like rapping it, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, while flipping tires.
Right, and it was just like the lamest thing ever. And you're so correct that...
Always am.
For now, that Sirianni is in the Super Bowl, so he gets a little leeway to kind of be braggadocious. But, dude, I go back to when he just, like, out of nowhere decided to take shots at Art Monk and Daryl Green, and that's when I made my decision. Because, dude... Those are two of the classiest, most like high road type players, and he just decided to.
That's why he took
get
a
his
shot
box
at them.
On. It was odd.
He wouldn't take a shot at a person like me because I walk right into Philly and slap the living hell out of him.
I believe
Darryl and Art. Well, they're not going to say a word to him, but people know who
Art probably
who messed
is unaware that it even happened.
Darryl too. They don't care, but it's like he wouldn't say something about a person who would step to his face and slap the hell out of him. Which I would probably do.
Well, I bet he won't talk about you.
Yeah.
Nate, one more on the Super Bowl. What do you make?
I heard, like, Nick Sirianni doesn't think B. Mitch should be in the Hall of Fame. That's something I heard him say.
Uh-oh.
And I think Nick Sirianni should kiss my, you know.
I heard him say it.
Nate Dogg, let's get to Commander's World. What do you make of seemingly them waiting for Bieniemy? And Bieniemy saying he hasn't interviewed for any offensive coordinator positions, and right now he's only interviewed for the Colts, and that it went well.
He has bigger things to plan for right now. I don't make much of it. It is weird that we don't have an offensive coordinator. I appreciate them taking their time and not, you know, jumping the gun and waiting to interview him. But I don't know. What can we really say about that? We don't have any of the details. We don't even know if he wants to come to Washington. We don't even know if he's going to take an interview in Washington. So it's just, I don't know. I don't have much thoughts on it, I guess.
I mean, I think the whole thing is he has to say the things he needs to say and keep everybody interested just in case. I mean, ultimately, yeah. I think he's in a position where, look, I want to be head coach. And you can't say, well, I don't care about offense coordinator because then those people won't wait for you anymore.
Yeah, but
if the head coach thing falls through, then he – huh?
You know, he has a game on Sunday. It's kind of important. So I don't blame him for, you know, not speaking on it. He has bigger fish to fry.
There you go.
100 chips, Nate, for put them on who's going to be the next offensive coordinator between Bienemy, Anthony Lynn, and then kind of the rest of the dudes. Pat Shurmur, Zampezi, London, Studesville. Who do you think?
I would say it's kind of a good thing that Shurmur hasn't been hired yet because we all thought that was inevitable because he's Ron's boy and, you know, he was one of those early interviews and he's been in the league forever and it would make perfect sense to hire a retread like him. I still wouldn't be shocked if he's hired, if he's the favorite. Also wouldn't shock me if some guy that we've never even heard of gets like some interview, some quarterback coach or something from, I don't know, throw a dart at the map.
Now that would shock the hell out of me right there, Nate.
What's that?
If they hire somebody we never heard of, that would shock the hell out of me right there.
Yeah, but you're saying just get an interview, right?
Ron loves listening to the media and seeing what people are saying and then, you know, following that later. he it's never his idea. He goes, oh, people think that way, I guess I'll follow that guy. That's the thing I want to do. So nothing shocks me that Ron, I hate that, I don't hate it, but I always end up just like coming down hard on Ron and I just don't like anything about how he runs, you know, coaching or player personnel or now this offensive coordinator situation. I just feel he does everything backwards and everything wrong. So nothing really would shock me with who he hires. Maybe he was about to hire one of these retreads until he saw everybody didn't want it. And he's like, whoa, let's not do that. So who knows what goes through his mind. He might name himself offensive coordinator for all we know. It's just nothing.
I would love to see that.
I mean, nothing shocks me with him. I really cannot.
I want to put it on the record. I would be shocked if he named himself offensive coordinator.
I want to see that, Nate.
We would look at it and go, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense to me. Ron is a weirdo, but I don't know where to put those chips. I just want to be happy with what the final decision is, and maybe that's why they are waiting until after the Super Bowl, which I think that's a very good sign, and people should be very happy that we have not hired an offensive coordinator yet.
I agree. I think they're going to interview Bienemy next week, assuming he doesn't get the head coaching job with the Colts. There's only two head coaching jobs left, so it's Cardinals and Colts. So, you know, it's kind of going to figure itself out.
And the Cardinals is just – it's crazy how bad that situation has turned out to be if Kyler is as miserable to coach as everybody says that he is.
Now he's out. He's probably out for the year, but he's definitely out until – Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he's out for a long time.
It's still his team, though. You know, he's still the quarterback of that team when he's healthy. So
You think the Colts is a better job than the Cardinals? B and I were debating this the other day. I'm not. I don't know that I have an answer, but I think it's a pretty interesting question.
It's a very interesting question because if it all comes down to if Kyler is uncoachable, then anywhere is a better situation because if you can't coach your quarterback and your quarterback is Kyler, who is not the most, traditional QB and he needs coaching and the whole he'd rather play video games than study the playbook thing, which turned out to be true, then I think the Colts is remarkably a better head coaching stop the Cardinals, yeah.
Yeah, if you have a little kid who's your quarterback who's making $30, $40 million, that has to be a tough-ass job right there.
What do you think, and I wanted to ask you this also, I might start with you on this, Brian. Sean Payton gets the job in Denver, immediately makes it clear that he's not putting up with Russell Wilson being an alien anymore. Yeah. What did you make of that, and how hard is it to follow through with that?
I think he's supposed to be making like $18 million a year or something like that. When the coach is making that much money.
Sean Payton, yeah.
Yeah, when a coach makes that amount of money, then he has the right to say and feel like he wants. Because I think what happens in this day and age, players are making so much money and coaches aren't making it. They feel like they can do whatever they want. When a coach gets the respect like Sean will be getting, I think he now is back on top. Like a college coach has that audacity to be able to do what they want to do. That's what Sean is now. Russell has to fall in line. No, you're not going to bring your team in here. If you want your team to be somewhere, build them a damn office building.
Nate Dogg, what about you, man? You think Russ Wilson can be rescued?
Whew. If someone can do it, I guess it's Sean Payton. I always find it crazy to pay a coach that much if you pay him that much, sorry that I can't speak for a second there. If you pay him that much, kind of what Beamer says, anything he says goes. Like there's no.
Yeah, I mean, but Russ is still making more money.
He's making more money, but I think
you don't pay a coach that much to not.
He's making more than any other coach has ever made, which says that okay, that coach right there, he has authority over everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's the ultimate thing where you cannot allow the coach to lose that cachet.
Yeah, and more and more, I think Pete Carroll might have known what he was doing. We'll see. We'll see how it goes in Denver, and maybe Sean Payton, as the people side and the offensive mind, can get that thing back and cooking.
Hey, I have a question real quick.
Okay.
Real quick, and I think this is going to be a big topic of conversation for the next couple months. Would the Bears be crazy not to take a quarterback first overall?
Yes. I think they're going to trade the pick.
They're going to try for sure to trade the pick, and it should be tradable. I mean, especially with the Texans needing a quarterback at two. But if the Bears stay at one, can they go defensive tackle? Or would that just be crazy? Or go Will Anderson?
I think the Bears are in a position where they have a quarterback that they feel they can build. And they can get so much for that pick and still keep moving forward. I really believe that, you know, Fields showed what he's capable of down the stretch. And I think what they can get for the pick is going to also give them a chance to boost them in the right direction. They go get a pick. Let's be real. We've all said this every year about how great quarterbacks are coming out of college. How many times have we seen the number one pick, number two, number three, whatever pick quarterback, come out and they stink up the joint?
Mm-hmm.
Right now they have a quarterback who they've had under their wing already. They see him making a step, and they can still get extra picks. That's the best situation to be in. You go and just keep that pick, and you can screw it up.
I think their top priority should be to trade the pick and accumulate more picks. But if they sit at one, I don't know what you do. If sitting at one, I think, is the biggest mistake they can make. Especially with, you know, the Texans needed a quarterback at two. I think it's going to be a fascinating, fascinating, fascinating next couple of months, all based around what the Bears can get and who is, like, the team.
What they need to do
by.
Is reach I out. Think, I they think need to reach out to you, JP, or whoever else, and start saying about all these teams that are trying to move up to get this pick to make the Houston Texans say, hey, we got to move up there. We got to make a trade with them. Because ultimately, right now, if you don't start discussing, if they don't get people to start thinking that someone is trying to come in front of Houston, they're going to be screwed.
What was the big story you broke, Nate? Was it Adrian Peterson signing with the Skins?
There was a three-month
span. There was a stretch of time where you had a bunch of scoops.
No, I had an insider in the front office, and I don't know what happened to him. I think, like, they drowned him in the ocean when they found out he was leaving. But I had I had Adrian Peterson before anybody, and I didn't tweet it because I didn't. That was the first scoop I ever got from this guy, and I was like, I don't know who this guy is, so I'm not going to run with it. And it was right. And then he gave me, Paul Richardson? and
Paul Richardson.
And who did we – Case Keenum. All three of those I got before anybody. And then poof.
Don't worry about that, Nate. I gave somebody some information, and he didn't use it either.
Who, me?
Yeah.
When?
When Ron went, don't bring that word up. You could have just shut him down right then and there. Already knew.
The great surgery.
You knew the surgery had already happened.
Nate, dog, I don't know how we've been talking this long, and I haven't brought this up yet. We're talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the BetQL guest line. You can check him out on Twitter and Instagram, at Barstool Nate. Read his content at Barstool Sports. Dan Snyder's Potomac Mansion is on Zillow.
And I heard that you're buying it.
I'm trying. I said I want to buy it. You know, in Forrest Gump, when Forrest gets rich off Apple stock, and then he buys Jenny's childhood home, and then he bulldozes it. That's what I want to do to Dan Snyder's house. I think that's the only way that we can forever get rid of his stink and the Dan Snyder curse and everything bad that he's ever done to us. It's that or we sink his yacht. And I think sinking the yacht is harder to do than bulldozing the house. Also, he lives on his yacht, so then I think there would be some sort of like murder charge mixed in, which I just don't have time for right now. So
yeah,
I think all we can do is we can start a GoFundMe. How hard could it possibly be to raise $49 million to bulldoze Dan Snyder's house? Everybody listening right now pitches in $1. We'll have
I guarantee you, Rev, if you said that people are going to do that, I guarantee you get that in no time.
I promise.
People will be GoFundMe like hell to get that done.
Nate, I bet
in the house, we'll do it in double time.
If you didn't have to pay New York apartment rent for like 2 months, you could probably buy Dan's house.
Brother, don't even get me started on the hell. Sorry, I don't know if we're allowed to say that word. The tool that I've been going through with my New York City apartment.
I thought you moved and everything's cool now.
What's that?
I thought you moved and everything's okay now.
Yeah, but I mean, my rent is seven times Beamish's mortgage, and Beamish has a mansion and a pool house and, you know, 50 acres of land.
Yeah, that's what y'all get for wanting to live in New York City.
Last one, it is...
You got a bathroom and you got to pay like a house.
We heard for a long time that after the Super Bowl is when things are going to get moving for the sale. Well, we're now... you know, 5 days away or whatever from the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl week. The whole NFL world is out here in Arizona. Are you still feeling quite confident this thing's getting sold?
Man, I knew you were going to ask this dumb question, JP. I think you do it to trigger me. I'm almost positive that you know what you're doing and you do it to trigger me.
It's almost like I'm good at this, Nate.
I need everybody listening to throw an egg at JP's car if he ever brings up the question of if this team is being sold or not.
Hold on. How nervous are you that this is your reaction to an incredibly simple question, just that the timeline is now where it's supposed to get to? The timeline is here, Nate.
After the Super Bowl,
I'm not doing anything wrong.
We got seven more days. That's it.
The team's being sold sooner than later. We will not have Dan Snyder anymore. He lives in England. He's off in Hogwarts and Harry Potter world. He's the bad guy. Like, that's what Dan Snyder's doing. He doesn't
just crushing fish and chips.
He will not own this football team.
Boy.
By kickoff in September, he will not be the owner anymore. No matter how many times you open the phone lines and ask people how nervous they are about it on 106.7.
For the record, I'm the one that reported that it would be done sooner than later and that it should be done in March. So
I'm going to start reporting stuff, too.
Your grumpiness is misguided. You sound nervous.
You're Jay Williams and me. I'm not falling for any of your little tricks.
B, did you see that video yesterday of Stephen A. and Jay Williams?
No.
We might have to play that for you because I'd love your reaction to it.
I'm going to tune in online at 1067thefan.com and listen to Beamish's reaction to that video.
What was your reaction? It sounded to me that Jay Williams said something in the break that he wouldn't say on air, and Stephen A. was calling him out on it.
Jay Williams did that tactic that I hate when you go, oh, you're mad? Oh, you're emotional? Like, they're reacting to a situation.
I hate that stuff.
And Jay Williams did the most antagonizing, most annoying thing anyone can do. And Stephen A. Smith is the man. Like, he is he's gone from just being, you know, just loud and yelling. And I really like Stephen A. Smith, and he's usually right about most things
he's
he says.
He's an artist.
Now. And Jay Williams was just as annoying as possible. And he goes, oh, so now you're triggered? And Stephen A.'s like, we're talking about, you know, an emotional subject. Like, yeah, I'm being passionate about it. That's kind of what we're on TV to do. So, yeah, I 1,000,000,000% agree with Stephen A. there. And Jay is just very, very frustrating. I can't imagine trying to have a conversation about anything with someone like that.
Nate Dogg, we always appreciate your time.
All right, Nate.
Thank you, buddy.
The team is being sold. Nobody listened to JP. Don't like.
I'm the one reporting it.
You to call in.
I'm the one reporting it, Nate. Nobody listened to Nate.
It's going to be sold in 2024.
He pays $4,000 a month in rent. Goodbye. Now, when we come back, there's a couple clips. One that we both need to hear, but two that you need to hear. We need to hear from Giants safety Julian Love talking about Nick Sirianni, and Brian Mitchell needs to hear the Stephen A. Jay Williams spat. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley.